Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today, is doing all we can to make a change in the world using our power of power. As you know, we are in the midst of our 12 Power film series, using a different film from popular culture to explore each one of our 12 powers. And today, we are going to be exploring one of the most misunderstood powers, the power of power. Sometimes we say the gift of power just to, you know, so it doesn't get too confusing. But what are our 12 powers? For those of you who may not know, we believe 12 key powers. We actually have an infinite number of powers, but we have 12 key powers that we use to create the world we live in our own personal experience, the world we coexist in as a community, as villages, as families, as nations, even as spiritual centers. Those powers are faith, strength, love, wisdom, power, imagination, understanding, will, order, enthusiasm or zeal, elimination or release, and the power of life. There's nothing magical about these powers, nor do you have to be a member of Unity to have these powers. In fact, every human being who has ever lived, is living, or ever will live, has these powers. It's just that we explore them intentionally so that we can develop them. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, along with Myrtle Fillmore, believed that in developing our 12 powers, we can more fully express our own Christ potential. And he based that on his observation of how many times the number 12 appears in sacred scriptures of pretty much every religion on earth. In the Christian and Judaic tradition, of course, there were the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 pillars in the temple, and of course, 12 apostles. And he believed that that was significant in that it reminded us, it modeled for us this knowledge, this understanding of using these 12 powers. In fact, he used as a way of memorizing and developing his understanding of the 12 powers. Each power was connected to a disciple. And again, there's nothing magical or dogmatic about that. It was just a way that he used and we use to more fully understand how we incorporate these powers in our lives. So today, we are going to look at the power of power. What is it? Any thoughts? You all know you have power, right? What is your power of power? How do you use it? What does it do?
Power of choice.
Okay, we'll start with that. It is truly all about choice. Our power is our ability to convert an idea into something manifest. Everything has always started as an idea. The chair you are sitting in started as an idea in somebody's head. Somebody got tired of sitting on the ground or on rocks or tree stumps and said, there's got to be something a little more comfortable. And it started as an idea. We use these ideas to create the world we live in. The words we speak, the actions we take, and what we build. And when we are in the right consciousness, we affirm our oneness with our higher power, with God. And we understand that it is not I, but the Christ within that does the work. It is the power within us that does the work. We use it. And we can choose, like you said, to use it for good or for something less than good. We can use it to build up or to tear down. And that's what our lesson today about power really is all about. How do we use it? first thing we do is we combine it with our power of wisdom and love, so that when we make decisions, we make good decisions. We make decisions that build up, decisions that empower, decisions that affirm. We make wise choices. And then our power puts those into action. Werner Erhard wrote this: "It is important that you get clear for yourself that your only access to impacting life is action. The world does not care what you intend, what you are committed to, how you feel or what you think, and it has no interest in what you want or don't want." He goes on to say, "Take a look at life as it is lived and see for yourself that the world only moves when you act." Your world only moves when you act. So our power then is in incorporating our choices into what we are building, making wise choices. How do we do this? Well, to live authentically means to be fully self-aware and self-actualized. Whoa, that sounds like a big thing, doesn't it? To be fully self-aware and self-actualized. Well, the good news is we are always fully self-aware and fully self-actualized to the level of our understanding in the moment. And so our goal then is to become more and more and more aware of who we really are and what we really are, to be self-aware and self-actualized. There is nothing more powerful than an individual who uses their power consciously. And yes, you can use power unconsciously too, but it's far better to use it consciously. For those of you who have not read the books or seen the movies of Harry Potter, I'll give you a quick synopsis. Hopefully you're at least familiar with the basic arc of the story. A young child who has been orphaned grows up in his aunt and uncle's house, and he's really mistreated because although he is not aware of it yet, he has magic. He is a wizard. And of course, his aunt and uncle and cousin are not. They're what they call muggles, which I'll explain in a minute. But they're afraid of this wizarding world. They're afraid of people who have power because they don't realize they all have power. Harry's parents were killed by an evil wizard named Lord Voldemort. And Voldemort used his power to control and to manipulate. His misuse of power grew from his own sadness, his own anger, and eventually his own paranoia. He wasn't created bad. His power was like everybody else's power. It could be used for good or bad. He did not have a good life growing up either, and he chose to use it for bad. There was nothing empowering about how he used his power. He demanded obedience from his followers and killed anyone who opposed him, including Harry's parents. So what does it mean then to be in our power, to claim our power? It means we claim ourself. It means we integrate all of our parts, all of our gifts, all of our talents, all of our innate abilities, our education, and yes, our shadow. That's important. Are we willing to see all of us, all of ourself, our light and our shadow? When we look at ourselves, how do we judge ourselves? Do we judge from the place of goodness or from the place of badness? The place of beauty or the place of ugly? Or do we understand that all of that is within each and every one of us? Voldemort had it all in him. He chose to focus on the shadow rather than incorporate and heal the shadow. What does all this mean to us? It means that we are willing to observe and tell the truth to ourselves about our strengths and our weaknesses. Charles Fillmore wrote in The 12 Powers, "It follows that every kind of human industry must be carried forward by a power that recognizes divine law. We are the power of God in action." For some people, that's very scary, but it is the truth. We say we are God expressing. Another way of saying it is we are the power of God in action. To us is given the highest power in the universe. Now, this was written 100 years ago. The conscious power of thought. There is a universal creative force that urges us forward to a recognition of the creative power of our individual thought. This force is elemental, and all of its attributes come under the dominion of humanity. When we cooperate with divine principle, we sit on the throne of our authority, and our elemental force is subject to us. And again, how do we use it? Now, all that sounds pretty heavy, especially that part of we sit on the throne of our authority and the elemental force is subject to us. If we're not in the right consciousness, that can be pretty influenced by ego. But from spiritual understanding, we know that with that level of power comes a commensurate level of responsibility. That is what the great masters understood, like Jesus and Buddha and so many others. They understood their power. They also understood the responsibility that came with it. And that's what the Voldemorts of the world do not understand. In that consciousness, in that lower consciousness, that lower understanding of our power, it becomes about me. What can I get? Who can I control? How can I profit? How can I be right? How can I get my way? But the conscious use of power is only concerned with how can I contribute? How can I support others in claiming their power? How can I empower others to live a fully authentic life? Think about Jesus. Jesus was an itinerant teacher who quietly rocked the most powerful government in the Western world of his time. And he changed history forever, at least for us. In claiming his power, Jesus found himself. And this can happen to us when we claim our power. Isn't that interesting? Jesus did not come to overthrow a government. He came to teach that the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. It's not something we have to go out and find. It's not something we have to force into manifestation. We're in it. Jesus didn't force anyone or even use his own power to get people to believe in him. He just showed up as who he fully was and who he came here to be. He was just being very quietly powerful and empowering. And to those who were using their power unconsciously, this was very frightening. Which brings us back to Harry Potter. In the first movie, Harry starts getting letters on his 11th birthday, and they're inviting him to attend Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. But his stepfather will not let him see the letters. They keep coming in droves through the windows, down the chimney, covering the lawn out in front of the house. And so they decide they got to get Harry away from this because they're afraid of power, because they don't understand what it is. So they spirit Harry off to an island which is just big enough for a lighthouse in a storm. But even that could not keep that message from reaching Harry. There was a giant who worked at the school. He was the gameskeeper named Hagrid. And he tracked down Harry to this scary remote island. And he invited him in person to join him at Hogwarts School. Now, he didn't tell him he had to go. He said, "Do you want to go?" Think about what Jesus did. Every time he did a healing, every time he did a teaching, he would say things, "Do you want to be whole? Do you want to hear what I have to say?" And there were times, one for sure that we know of, where they didn't. And he said, okay. And in the Bible, it says he shook the dust off his feet and went on. That was just a way of saying, not now, not here. They're not ready. That's okay. Well, Harry, you can probably imagine when he first becomes aware of what Hagrid is telling him. Hagrid says to him, "You, Harry, are a wizard." And Harry replies, "No, you've made a mistake. I can't be a wizard. I'm Harry, just Harry." How many of us have done that? How many of us, in learning that we are created in the image and likeness of God, say, "Not me. I'm just me. I'm not made in the image and likeness of God." It's a mistake. How many of us have done the same thing? How many of us do the same thing? Imagine not knowing your own power. Can you imagine what it was like for Harry? If you've seen the movie or read the books, you know what it was like for Harry. All of a sudden, he finds out he's not just a regular person. He'll come to realize nobody is a regular person. But for an 11-year-old kid, this is a big revelation. How many of us, that's a big revelation? Think about it. Everyone in the world of magic knew who Harry Potter was, but he did not know who he was. And that power frightened everybody who wasn't in that world, the what they call muggles. Muggles were people who did not know they were magical, who did not have that power. They had the potential for it, but they didn't have it because they didn't know it. In Harry's case, his family had gone out of their way to discourage him ever finding that out, and then throughout the rest of the series, ever using that power. How many of us live in a world where that happens? Or maybe we've done it to somebody, where we don't believe we have the power. Harry's family was afraid of his potential. Sometimes we're afraid of our own potential. Harry's family went out of their way to belittle him, to make him feel less than, to deny who he really was, until eventually the truth came out and he was told of his true nature. Now he then goes to Hogwarts School, where he meets people who support him in being who he is. He meets Ron and Hermione, his friends and his teachers. And he meets some who don't quite accept him where he is. How many of you remember Draco Malfoy? Yes. Draco, who says, "Someday you'll find out who the true wizarding families are." Because he came from a family that had a misunderstanding of what power was. In his family, he was taught that power was to be used to control others, to inflict your way and your will on others. And he tells Harry, "You'll soon find out that some wizarding families are better than others." In other words, join my family. And he says, "You don't want to hang out with the wrong sort. I can help you with that." Harry was already starting to step into wisdom, though, which goes along with power. And he replies to Draco, "I think I can figure out the wrong sort for myself, thank you." And then he's faced with his first big choice. Again, power is about choices. And that is when he's put into one of the four houses at Hogwarts School, and he wants to be in the same house as his new friends, Ron and Hermione. And so he says, "I want to be in Gryffindor." There's the sorting hat. They put the hat on him, and the hat chooses which house you go into. And there's this conversation that says, "You could be powerful in Slytherin," which is a house that teaches how not to use power or how to use it amiss. And he says, "No, I want to be in Gryffindor. I'm making the choice to be in Gryffindor." He's basing this on wisdom, love, faith, and courage, although he doesn't realize it yet. And of course, he gets put into Gryffindor. It requires courage. It requires choice. In the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, it says, "Do not fear to develop your power and mastery. However, be mindful that they are not exercised on other people, but rather on yourself." Rather on yourself. It's all about making that choice. So that's the first gist of the first movie. And the second movie, the one we're going to look at a clip from today, not yet, guys, called The Chamber of Secrets. Harry has gone through this whole adventure in this movie where there's the guy who founded the House of Slytherin, appropriate name, has built this secret chamber where this giant snake-like creature lived called a basilisk. And anybody who looks on the basilisk is paralyzed. And so they go through all this process to find out where the Chamber of Secrets is and to defeat the basilisk and kill him. And Harry breaks a lot of rules that the school has to get this done. Sometimes you got to break the rules. Now, I'm not saying break the law. I'm saying sometimes we have to step out of what is normal. And so he has accomplished all of this. He's defeated the basilisk. He saved one of the other students, Ginny, and several others, and defeated one of the incarnations of Lord Voldemort. Now, Voldemort had different incarnations throughout the series of the movies, Horcruxes, they called them. This was one. And in that process, he just makes a startling discovery, a scary discovery. He discovers that he shares some of the same powers that Lord Voldemort has. So this scene that we're going to see takes place in the headmaster Dumbledore's office after he has done all of this. And he's questioning, what is this dark power I'm seeing? So would you play the clip, please? Show what we truly are. It is our choices. We see throughout Harry's journey in these books and movies, him learning more and more about his abilities, about developing his power of intention, and the abilities that Voldemort transferred to him. This learning requires that he embrace it all, and it is only when he embraces both his light and his darkness, both the abilities that he inherited from his parents and those he gained through Voldemort's attack, that he was able to step into his own full power. He grew to understand that what we deny persists. And until he was willing to overcome his fear of that darkness, the powers that Voldemort had transferred to him, his fear, his revulsion, and embrace them, that he was able to claim his power. Imagine the courage that would take. That's a powerful choice to make. As the rest of the wizarding world in these books was so terrified of Voldemort that they wouldn't even say his name. He was always referred to as, who knows it? He who shall not be named, yes. Their denial was so strong, their fear of this powerful shadow of what a wizard could become, that they denied its very existence. Which leads us to ask, what are we afraid to name? What are we afraid to see? Harry had the courage, the strength to call Voldemort by name, to acknowledge where wizards can go bad. And in so doing so, he claimed the power. Throughout the series, we see Harry and his friends supporting one another through many obstacles and triumphs, through joy and sorrow, and ultimately to the triumph of good over evil. The triumph of power used for good over power used for evil. That's the choice we make. And we truly step into our power when we recognize that power just is. It is how we use it that determines whether it is good or evil. Jimi Hendrix quoted other writers when he wrote, "When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace." We're experiencing that struggle in a very real world in our world today. Look around. The love of power is standing in the way of peace. I think about history, and one of the examples of standing up for the right use of power from our own history. A little over 400 years ago, the first European settlers came here, fleeing religious intolerance and persecution and oppressive monarchy. And like Harry and his friends, they sought freedom from seemingly undefeatable power. 200 years later, the Constitution was written. Well, first the Declaration of Independence, resulting in the Revolutionary War, and then the Constitution. And we elected George Washington as our president. We were at an interesting choice point right there. George Washington could have stepped into the role of king or emperor. There were those who wanted him to step into that role. Instead, he stepped into the role of a humble servant. He recognized that he had great power, but with great power came great responsibility. And after he had served his two terms, he returned to his farm. He was one of the most powerful people in North America at the time. And yet, he let that power go when it was appropriate to let it go. He could have embraced the shadow. He could have claimed power to rule over others. But instead, he set it down. That's the power. Now, I know, for those of you who might observe, that George Washington was not perfect. That's a given. He was a rich white man who owned slaves. That is part of our history and part of our country's DNA. That is the shadow part of it. And for a long time, we refused to look at any of that. And yet, we are beginning to understand more and more and more as individuals and as a nation that we are all a mixture of dark and light, of shadow and grace. And we can choose to let the light shine. So what do we do with that? How do we use that in our own lives? How do we go from being tempted by power and then choose instead to serve a greater good? In Harry Potter, the wizarding world was freed from a terrible evil. Because of George Washington's choices, we were spared becoming another monarchy. We became a haven for those fleeing oppression and for those yearning to be free. Free to live and worship as they choose. And it's always an ongoing struggle. And will continue to be an ongoing struggle until we as a people can embrace the full shadow. For us personally, it will always be a struggle until we can embrace our own shadows. We can't take freedom either personally or nationally or any other way for granted. We have to take our own responsibility. And that starts with our own choices. So what choices are we making in our lives today? Are we choosing to exercise our power on ourselves? To develop our own gifts and abilities? Just as the freedom that we fought for over 200 years ago brought great responsibility, so does exercising our power bring great responsibility. Do we focus on making the biggest contribution to the world that we can, the biggest difference that we can? Do we practice our principles, demonstrating our values, or not? George Bernard Shaw wrote in The Joy of Life, "The true joy in life is being used for a purpose. Recognize by yourself as being a mighty one, being a force of nature, instead of a feverish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." He went on, "I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community. And as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for that community whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. And the more I live, the more I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It is a sort of splendid torch, which I've got to hold up for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations." Jimmy Carter said it a little different. "My faith demands that I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever I can, and for as long as I can. And with whatever I have, to try to make a difference," kind of like the song we just sang. Do you see a theme here? It's all about what choices are we making. How are we using our power? You know, sometimes making a difference can seem to be overwhelming. Like, how can I make a difference? How can I do enough to really change things? In the Talmud, it is written, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." That's a powerful statement. We are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are we free to abandon it. And as we work on ourselves, we are working on the world itself. Like Harry, we can commit to claiming our power even when it scares us. We can commit to using our power to help, not to hurt, to empower, not to overpower, to give, not to take, to spread love, not to spread hate. The choice is ours. What will we choose? Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.